Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Now, Rick, I know you know about this, and you're excited about this. The UFC makes its return this Saturday, May 9th, and it features a double main event live on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. First, you can see number one-ranked lightweight contender Tony Ferguson square off against number one Justin Gaethje. Then a bantamweight bout between Henry Cejudo and Dominic Cruz. UFC 249, it's finally here. And 98.7 ESPN is getting you ready with the Sweat at Home contest. Here's your chance to score a 98.7 UFC prize pack. We're asking our listeners to send us an innovative in-home workout video that we'll judge on creativity and clarity. Make sure to keep your submission to under 30 seconds. Tweet us your video with our show handle at DCR on ESPN and use the hashtag 987 Sweat at Home. To see the official rules, go to ESPNNewYork.com. Here at DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg, we're getting you ready for UFC 249 this Saturday, May 9th, on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. How about that? I've seen some entries roll in. They look pretty good out there, by the way.
Yeah, not too bad. Yeah, we got Karate Mace in his little cute karate outfit, doing some kicks and everything else. And then we had another one today where like doing some core exercises on a mat in the street. I saw that one was the last one I saw.
That fight, by the way, Cinco de Nueve.
I was watching a Sports Center this morning, and they actually had Justin Gaethje on talking about the fight. And the funniest part of the whole interview is he said his goal in this fight on Saturday night is to win, obviously, and then
to break his nose, right? I saw that. When he said that, I was like, he should be tested before the fight. Yeah. So you have that sound, Santiago? Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Look at Santiago. He's a new guy. No Knicks, no Rangers. He's completely dominating running the board. All right, here he is, Justin Gaethje, why he wants to break his nose in this fight on Saturday.
So 12 years ago, my lip right here, it's split down the middle. I was not born like this. I took one headbutt. It went through my nose, through my lip. And, yeah, it pretty much collapsed my septum. I had surgery, but yeah, I didn't get it fixed till 6 months after the initial injury. So my bones, you know, healed up and they couldn't get through my right side. So I don't want to take time off. I don't want to pay for it. So if Tony cracks me in the nose, the UFC's got to pay for it and I'll be good to go. After I get the W, I'll have the belt. You know, that'll make me feel good going through the healing process.
These guys are unbelievable.
It's crazy.
They're just different, right? Than normal people walking the streets. I want to break my nose so I have to have surgery and have it fixed properly. It's unbelievable to me.
Yeah, I wasn't born like this. I did one headbutt when my nose collapsed collapsed my septum, and I waited. And then I waited 6 months to get it fixed. He actually says too in that interview that he went in for, so they're all getting tested for COVID. So, you know, Ferguson actually did, I'm not sure if you've seen the video or not.
They showed the video of him getting the test.
Yeah, yeah. But I guess with Gaethje, they tried to put it up his right nostril and they couldn't get it up there because it's completely collapsed.
Oh, because it's closed?
Yeah, because it's closed.
Right. It was funny. They showed, I don't know which one it was. I saw one of them was getting the test. I guess it was probably Gaethje because it looked like it was going up the left nostril. And he was not enjoying that at all. Like he was very unhappy having the COVID test.
No, that goes dead. That's like, I mean, that goes deep. Have you ever gone to an ENT, ears, nose, throat?
I've had the camera that they put all the, it feels like it goes into your brain.
Ugh, it's the worst. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's one test that's worse than that, but I don't think we should talk about it. But yeah, having something go through your nose like that is the worst.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Not good. No fun. But it's just funny. The guy's talking about, I'd like to break my nose so that I have to have a surgery to have it fixed.
But he's not wrong.
No, but the test, just to see if he has COVID, that's a lot for him. It was just, I thought he would be like, all right, please. I spit in the face of your test. This is nothing for me, but it wasn't like that.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, when I would go for PRP on my knee, the first time I went, the doctor gave me this whole spiel. Like, are you okay? Are you going to be fine? I said, yeah, I'm fine. Let's do the needle. Let's take the blood. Let's spin it up and let's put it back. Because I need to make sure because, you know, there are plenty of athletes that come in that don't do well with needles. I said, what do you mean they don't do well with needles?
Oh, yeah.
He said, yeah, dude, he had one guy, he pulled out the needle to take the blood out, and the guy passed out and fell off the table.
It's amazing to me that people, but there's a lot of people like this. Like every time I'll have blood drawn, I'll get like a whole talk, like, are you okay with needles? I was like, yeah, I'm fine with needles. You go, you look the other way. It's a little dip, you know, little prick, and then they take the blood, and that's it.
Santi, I'm going to need that, by the way, please.
I knew it. You know what's funny?
Please.
I knew beforehand. And I thought, you know what? I think we've graduated to a maturity level that I can say this. And No, we have not.
It's the little things that get me through the day, Dave. Just the little things.
I'm glad. So, but I find it fascinating, the people that can't deal with having their blood drawn.
Yeah, especially like, I mean, even him, you're just talking, he wants to get punched in the face, so he breaks his nose, so the UFC has to pay for it to get fixed, but, you know, you stick something up his nose.
Right.
And you can't take it.
No, that becomes too much. All right, so 3 hours tonight. You can watch it on ESPN. The schedule release. How many of the 3 hours do you think you're locked into? You think you're all in?
Am I all in? Yeah, for the most part, I'll be all in. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'll watch. It'll be on one of the televisions. I probably won't watch. I got to finish up a movie. I started a movie last night, so we'll finish that up.
But, what'd you start?
Extraction.
Never heard
of it.
Which
actually is pretty good. No, you should watch it. It's Netflix. Thor. Thor is the main character.
Oh, what's his face?
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of his name.
Handsome.
Yeah, very handsome.
Very handsome. Good movie. It's long. I mean, it's long. I think we have, it's almost two, I think it's 2 hours. I think we have like 45, 50 minutes left. So I'll finish that up.
How do you feel about splitting the movie in two? You're okay with that?
I'm not usually. Like, I got yelled at because I watched the, we have nothing to watch because usually I'm watching sports. So now Cassie's taking advantage. So I watched that movie, The Gentleman. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
It's got Colin Farrell, Hugh Grant.
Okay.
Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, nice.
It's actually pretty good. But we started it, and she thought I was going to stop it. And then once I started, I couldn't stop it. So I watched the entire thing. So I got yelled at last night. She's like, you're going to do it again. I know you're going to do it. This is a perfect time to stop it, but you won't. I'm like, okay, I bet you I will. She's like, no, you won't. You can't. You don't have the self-control.
So she dared you into stopping the movie.
Yeah, I had to prove a point. And it killed me, too, because the movie was getting good, and I wanted to finish it and see how it ended. But
you didn't want to stop it because you said you were going to. You had to stop it.
Exactly. She challenged me.
Yeah,
I mean, it was like a competition now. Like, you don't have enough self-control. I was like, yeah, I'll show you I do.
That's our family motto. Everything is a competition.
Dude, by the way, speaking of family and parenting, Milo's 5, Ella's 3. So in 5 years, yesterday may be the piece de resistance of Cassie and I's parenting yesterday.
Really?
What we were able to accomplish. Oh, dude.
All right. Let me be the judge, because for someone else to say they had great parenting move is unusual. But go ahead. Let me hear.
This was parenting 101, mind games to the fullest.
Now, was somehow, it like the two of you teamed up here? Like, it was a brilliant execution? Really? So it's like Bill Walsh scripted plays out of the gate. All right. This is exciting. Go ahead. Exactly right.
This is Walsh, Montana. This was beautiful. Perfect. So I get done with the show. We have some lunch. You know, doing some things, whatever we're doing. And Cassie and I looked at each other, not a nice day out. At the time it was raining. She's like, well, what are we going to do? So I would go downstairs, play hockey, whatever it is. She's like, oh, well, let's do, you think we can do something like productive around the house? I said, what do you have in mind? She's like, well, I've been meaning to clean, you know, this one room. You think we can clean it? I was like, how are we going to clean this?
You somehow ended up having the kids clean the room, didn't you?
Exactly right.
Uh-huh.
Somehow, I don't know how we did it. We made vacuuming and dusting like the coolest thing you ever saw in your life. And they did.
Really?
Dude, a straight hour they helped us clean this room, and we're proud of it afterwards.
That is, I should have you over my house. There's no way that could ever happen in my house. Poor Sherry had to clean. She finally, almost like she was going into battle the other night, she comes into the kitchen, goes, I can't take it anymore. I'm going to clean all the bathrooms by myself. And you would think at that moment, one of the three of us would say, like, no. Let us at least help you. Let us do one while you do the others. Nope. It was, all right, Mom, good luck. We'll see you later. But what we did do, to give the three of us credit, we took care of dinner, so when she was done scrubbing the bathrooms like Cinderella, she came out and there was a dinner waiting for her.
And you guys are the evil stepsisters just sitting there having dinner.
But you would think that like decent human beings are like, no. You can't do it by yourself. Please let us help you. We will absolutely get involved with you. There was none of that. Like, all right, let us know how that plays out. She came out. She's like, I swear to God, if one of you guys doesn't pee in the toilet and I see you guys peeing on the side of the toilit, you're done. I will kill you. And it got heated.
See, I'm telling you, you laugh at me. This is why you sit down and pee in your own house. You absolutely have to sit down and pee in your own house.
Well, I don't clean the bathrooms.
It doesn't matter. Well, the poor thing does.
I know.
But I mean, you don't know. It's touch and go. Who knows? All of a sudden you stand up to pee and you got two spouts going. You get the old two streamer.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Who knows? It's a valid point. All right, let's get to the NFL.
I had Milo do that the other day. He's sitting there. He's like, so I walk in. He goes to the bathroom.
Just for the note, I tried to move on. You took it back. Go ahead.
No, it's funny you bring this up. So I got aggravated because he goes in to go pee, and I don't know why I ended up in there. And so I walk in, and he's standing up to pee, and as I walk in, he's peeing, and then he looks at me, and he's not paying attention to what he's doing, and he completely just pees all over. Like, he just starts peeing on the floor. I'm like, what are you doing? You got to pay attention. You just pee on the floor.
And then we have, I don't even know who it is, and I swear to God it's not me, but the occasional child who just won't flush. Do you ever get that? And
yes.
Then, like, you walk into the bathroom days later, like, what died in the bathroom? And you realize someone's not flushed.
I wasn't going to tell you this story, but I'm going to have to now because you brought this up. So the other day, Ella's in the bathroom, and she's only 3 years old. So she goes in, and she's in there for like 5 minutes. I said, "You okay? Everything all right?" "Yeah, everything's good, Dad. I'm taking a poop." So I said, "Okay, whatever." So she goes, "I'm done." And then all of a sudden she walks out. I'm like, "Well, you're done. You don't wipe your side. You're done?" She's like, "Oh, I didn't poop. I just did pee." So I don't even think twice about, "Okay, you sure?" "Yep, all set." So then I go in there.
Oh,
we
no.
put them to bed. I go in there and I go to the bathroom, and I'm looking at the toilet. There's nothing in the toilet. But then out of the corner of my eye, I see something on the floor, on the rug.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but it doesn't look, this is not like a big giant. So I'm looking at it. I'm like, what the hell is that? Like, it looks dry. And luckily I made the decision because I was almost just going to pick it up. I made the decision. You know what? I'm not going to test my luck. I take a piece of toilet paper and I pick it up. And
did you smell it?
I did.
Oh,
and it was a turd.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a fossilized turd that was just hanging out next to the toilet.
Oh.
I almost picked it up with my fingers. I said, "What do you?" I was like, "Ellie, you said you didn't go to the bathroom." "Oh, sorry, Dad."
She didn't realize it got away.
It got away. Yeah, one that got away. She had a stray poop just hanging out.
Oh, goodness. All right, let's move along here, and let's go to Gary in Jersey City. Gary, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, guys. This is absolutely fabulous. I think you guys are terrific.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, no, you do a great job. You make this whole quarantining, staying at home thing survivable.
Gary, you're locked in like every day on the station. You are locked into 98.7.
No, absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
Good
starts at 6 with Golic and Wingo. 10 o'clock is you guys. 1 o'clock is Bart and Hahn. And then at 3, we got Michael and Don Beautiful. And Peter.
Yep. Beautiful. Good.
This is my kind of guy. Yeah, locked in for the entire day. I love it.
That's right.
Yeah, no. Even though Peter, if you go back 5 years, the fact that he didn't know who Casey Stengel was.
It's one of the most embarrassing moments of his career.
It scares the bejesus out of me.
It's terrifying.
I'm 50. I'm 51 years old.
Who's Casey Stengel?
Yeah, no, who's Casey Stengel?
Yeah.
Like, how do you not know that?
And he said it with such pride, too. Like, why would I know who Casey Stengel is?
I know. He's mage.
Yeah, you're a good
he's the reason.
Station.
He's the reason. Get it right. He's the reason.
He's doing a good job. He's doing a good job. But my God, that scared the bejesus out of me. I mean, like, Casey Stengel? Like, no, literally. Of anyone on the planet you could pick in baseball,
argue with you. It was not his finest moment.
Yes, okay, fine. The one thing I wanted to bring up was the issue of this whole coronavirus thing is we're all facing sort of the fact that we don't control stuff. And that's very, very hard for people. And I imagine it's very hard for DiPietro, who in your role as a goalie, your entire career is based on controlling moments. And the fact is, it's a disease, and it's just out there, and there's going to be no vaccine. If you actually follow WHO, we've got no vaccine for Ebola, we've got no vaccine for SARS, we've got no vaccine for MERS, we've got no vaccine for malaria, and that's just how this is going to play out. People are going to die, and that's sad, but it's true. I hope that doesn't cast a pall on your show.
Well, no, I mean, I think that we've kind of sadly, and thanks for the call, Gary, come to the realization that this is terrifying. And the thing is, it's not, you know, you can't see it. You can't touch it. You can't taste it. You don't, you have no idea whether you're involved with this or not on a day in, day out basis. And I think we've sadly come to the realization. I mean, I think we're at, what, 70,000 people that have now died from this. So yes, people are going to die. What we're trying to do, and I don't know that we're doing a great job right now, is trying to mitigate the amount of death that we have from this thing. But of course people are going to die. And I've heard differently, though. I've read and heard that they will come up with a vaccine at some point in the next, I don't know, 8, 10, 12 months. So I think that will happen. But yeah, it's terrifying. For everybody, this is terrifying.
Yeah, it's the reality. I mean, what he's talking about is the reality of this thing. And you know, what you're trying to do is, and even if you have a vaccine, I mean, we have, you know, a flu shot, but I mean, it's what, 60% effective? You're not going to eliminate it. I mean, you're just trying to limit it. So you're trying to put yourself in the best position that when someone does get sick, you give them the proper care and, you know, try to get them through it, as opposed to all of a sudden you have all these, you know, all these hospitals flooded with sick people and you just don't have the means to take care of everybody.
Yeah, it's a terrifying situation that we're in. Dennis in Huntington Station. Dennis, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys, what's going on? Where's Chris at?
Chris took the day, but he will hopefully be back with us tomorrow, Dennis.
David, I cannot believe that you call yourself a Met fan. It took you 5 minutes to Google.
Yeah, I don't need you to call me. I know
yes.
your game. I mean, you don't like
yes.
me, and at this point, I'm not liking you very much, Dennis, really.
Yes.
So if you want to lambaste me over not knowing John
Get
Franco
him.
Right off the bat, have at it.
All right. Well, anyway, my point is I think I found the solution for how we can go to ballparks. So picture this. You got your ticket, you're about to go into the entrance, and they have all these tents set up. And they measure your body, and they give you a suit, sort of like a bubble suit with a zipper in all the appropriate areas.
Wait, hang on a second. I'm walking into Citi Field in a bubble suit?
Well, yeah, it's not going to be like, you know, a big bubble suit, but like, you know, a hazard suit. With like an opening by your mouth with flaps, so you can insert a hot dog or whatever you want. I think that's our best chance at getting crowds back. Because
oh
unless
God.
We get a vaccine, and I mean I'm working on it, but it's you know it's gonna take a while to get this vaccine going.
Now, Dennis, you are of the mindset that I stole a hot take from you recently, right?
I'm on the mind. I'm 100% positive.
Yeah, it happened.
Well, if I did in fact steal that from you, I promise to not steal this one from you.
You better not, David.
No, I promise you. I will not be spouting, and thanks for the call, Dennis, on Saturday morning how a bubble hazmat suit for 40,000 people is the way to go at Citi Field.
Yeah, you're a thought pirate. You'll steal it. I mean, you're probably sitting there trying to, you're in front of your computer trying to draw this suit up with the flaps for the hot dog.
I don't flaps for the hot dog. Now, would you think the hot dog flaps?
Did you hear
him?
By the way, did you hear him when he said, "Hopefully, we'll have a vaccination." I'm working on it right now.
Yeah,
yeah. He's the best.
He's an interesting guy, huh?
He comes at you every single time. You know, you're the Jack Sparrow of hot take. You're a pirate. You're a thought pirate.
That's not true. Only you wouldn't defend me here.
Of course, I defend you. Know how much I love you. Stop, please. Would you please?
How would that take anybody's hot take?
I love you like a brother.
Now, do you think you'd have a straw hall separate to the opening for, like, is there a popcorn opening? Is there a straw opening? Is there a hot dog opening? Do you have many different openings?
No, I think it's going to be the hot dog flap, and whatever you decide to stick through that flap is up to you.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, when you say hot dog flap, I go bad, my mind goes real interesting places.
Could you imagine if you showed up
no.
at the stadium and you had to, it would take you 5 hours to get into the field. Now they're going to fit you for the appropriate size. Now we're gonna have 50,000 people.
No,
that's
the
like
best
space
is like
aliens.
The best is like he's like no, it's not a big suit. It's not a huge suit. It's just
no.
you know just a regular.
Don't let
regular
your mind
suit.
Get crazy here. It's a normal size suit. Oh my God,
Cassie be all for it. I'm telling you, she read about the murder hornets. I mean, she's probably. I'll get a package tomorrow. I guarantee you, like a beekeeper. She'll have a beekeeper outfit on. She's nuts.
That is insane. Okay, next Tuesday, May the 12th, We're celebrating Derek Jeter by showing a classic Derek Jeter game on ESPN television as part of our MLB Encore Tuesdays. The game that airs is up to you. Go to ESPN.com Yankees page and vote between the Jeffrey Mayer game in 96, Mr. November against the Diamondbacks in 01, the dive against the Red Sox in 04, his 3,000th against Tampa in 2011, or Jeter's Bronx farewell against the Orioles in 2014. And Chris told us yesterday it was the Mr. November game that he liked the best. And I think that's right. I think of those games, that's the appropriate selection.
Question, if you could be one athlete, just one, Jeter, Brady, or Jordan, who would you be?
Now, is this for my playing career? Is this for my whole life?
Just in general, yeah, whole life.
Whole life.
All inclusive.
Could be any of those three. Boy. I mean, I can't go wrong.
No, you can't go wrong.
I think I'd go Jordan. Because I feel like he was the most dominant athlete of those three.
And yeah, I would probably agree with that.
And I mean, like he could. Now, you look at Jeter's off the field, you know, legendary status, sure. But I feel like Jordan could also be in that stratosphere if he chose to be.
And maybe he was. Who knows? I mean, maybe he wasn't with you know, celebrities necessarily. Maybe.
But
was.
I know he was married younger.
Yeah, he was married younger, but then he was
divorced.
He was divorced,
and then married again. So, I mean, I would go Jordan, but you can't go wrong, and there's no wrong order.
No, the three good options. Jordan is considered by most. He's the GOAT. Like, he's the greatest of all time. Brady's in that conversation. Jeter's not. I don't know, man. Playing for the Yankees.
Yeah, you're the shortstop of the Yankees. You're the captain.
Tough call.
Where would you go? You pinned me down to go with that. Where'd you go?
I think I would probably go Jordan too.
Because clearly Jordan, let's be honest, a far superior player to Jeter, right?
Yes, at his sport, yeah. Yeah,
and I know Yankee fans will say, oh, you know, Jeter, great, but not in the same, not even close.
No, Derek Jeter, as good as he was, I mean, I have so much respect for Derek Jeter with everything, how he handled himself off the field, on the field, all of it. I mean, what he did in the most important moments, that's all great, but he's not, I mean, if you were to ask, they talk about this in the K-Show, I mean, Mount Rushmore of your sport, Derek Jeter's not on the Mount Rushmore of baseball.
No. You can't even think about Mount Rushmore of the NBA without having Jordan on it.
No, you lose all credibility. If Michael Jordan's not on your Mount Rushmore,
you couldn't do it.
You lose all credibility. No,
you couldn't do it. I mean, you could say is Kareem on there. You could say is LeBron on there. You could ask about Kobe,
Magic, Bird,
Bill Russell,
Wilt.
Magic, Bird, right? All those guys. But I mean, if you're having four, you would have to have Michael Jordan on it.
Yeah, you have to. And then, I mean, there's the conversation. I mean, Tom Brady's in the conversation for greatest. I mean, some people call him the greatest football player ever, but he's in the argument for greatest, for sure.
If you had to rank them solely as athletes, you'd go Jordan 1, Brady 2, Jeter 3.
As athletes?
Yeah. I'm not talking about like how physically athletic they were. I'm talking about the dominance they had in their sport. Brady was more dominant than Jeter never won an MVP.
Yeah, I would go Jordan. I mean, that's not too. I mean, Jeter was wearing. I mean, his footwear where that he wore. I mean, he was a Jordan brand athlete. I mean, that's how it's the power of Michael Jordan. So I'd go Jordan Brady. Yeah, I'd go Jordan Brady Jeter.
Now, am I following their accolades off the field, or can I create my own as that person player off the field?
No, you're following. Like you get like the second you pick, you get everything that comes with the athlete.
But I can create that on my own.
Yeah, you inherit what they have, and then whatever else you trade. I mean,
I would go Jordan. See, if you told me that I inherit everything that they had on and off the field, I think that maybe I'd go Jeter 1. The off the field,
conquests
are just remarkable.
Yeah, they're pretty impressive. I mean, I don't think you can even argue that. I mean, Brady too. I mean, Brady.
Yeah.
But he's,
yeah, I might completely flip it. I might go Jeter, Brady, Jordan, if I'm following their footsteps off the field. But if I create my own narrative, I'm going Jordan, Brady, Jeter, in that order.
Yeah, well, whatever you decide to do once you're Jordan, that's up to you.
Yeah.
I mean, how you decide to use that power is up to you. But, I mean,
They want to see Lakers in Atlantic City, huh?
No, I mean, you have the Jordan brand. And then on top of that, you own an NBA team. I mean,
now, when wealth is concerned, it goes Jordan, Jeter, Brady?
I would probably say it probably goes Jordan, wealth-wise. I think it probably go
clearly Jordan.
Brady. Clearly Jordan. I think it might be Brady.
Brady too?
I think it might be Brady, then Jeter.
Although, you don't have to have any.
Like, Jeter didn't make a huge investment.
Guys.
Jeter did not make a huge investment in the Marlins. I think he put in $25 million.
Right.
And he gets paid. I mean, his salary is $5 million.
$5 million?
Yeah, so he's recouping. I mean, he's recouping.
In five years, he's even.
Yeah, what an awesome investment that was.
Yeah, you're not kidding. The baseball team.
Not as good as Brett Favre's investment. Not even.
Where you get $1 million and don't do anything?
Don't do anything. Well, he gave $500 back.
I thought he returned all of it, no?
He gave the $500 back, and then he worked out a payment plan for the rest, for the $600.
Very, very strange stuff when it comes to him. All right, today on ESPN Daily with Tom Brady gone, very appropriate, the Patriots have a huge question mark at quarterback. Hear why Coach Bill Belichick has faith in last year's backup, Jared Stidham. That's on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so you saw what the NFL is doing. I think it was John Clayton who had this report out in Seattle. It sounds like, and this is not official, but this is what it sounds like, every team is going to play a division in the other conference four consecutive games to start the season. You think, well, why would they do that? I think it's brilliant, Rick, because if the NFL has to push the season back or cancel games altogether, boom, done. So the Giants won't play and it'll be even for everyone. I think it's really, really smart. So the Giants won't play the AFC North or the Jets won't play the NFC West, but it's not like you're missing any division games. It's not like you're missing any conference games. So I think it's a smart move by the NFL if, in fact, this is what we find out tonight at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. I understand why it would make sense. I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, for me as a Jets fan, I would love that. I mean, you tell me all of a sudden now you're going to cancel the first month of the season. Like, we're not going to tack those games back on, and I'm going up against the NFC West. Yeah, I would sign up.
Now, when you say you don't think it's going to happen, you don't think that they're going to cancel the games, or you don't think that they're going to have four games scheduled against?
No, that's not how the schedule. I don't think that's how the schedule is going to be laid out.
You don't think it'll play out like that tonight?
No, because I think part of it too, and they're going to have to be flexible in everything else when they're making the schedule. I think one of the things they're going to focus on is rather than even entertain the possibility of canceling the games, it would be taking, however many weeks the season could potentially be pushed back by being able to take those games, say week one and two or whatever it is, and then, putting them on the back end of the schedule.
Right, which is fine.
And most of those games back into the schedule are division games.
Right.
So I would be surprised
Start till, say, November. You can't start till the first week in November. And you've had to blow out, I don't know, just for argument's sake, you missed those first four or five games, right? It makes sense to have those games.
Well, no, you mean October. The season starts in September.
Right, but all right, so let's just say for argument's sake that you can't play, because they've said that they can have a full season even if they start on October 10th, right? They've come out and they've said that we can have a full season if we start mid-October.
And then they finish up at the end of February, yeah.
Right. So let's say that they can have a full season, but they have to push it back to early November. Wouldn't you want the games that your team misses, not to be the Dolphins, the Patriots, you'd want it to be teams that you don't necessarily have to play, I would think, no?
No, you're right. You would. But, I mean, you're pushing it back to November. Now, all of a sudden, you're talking about, I mean, they're going to release a schedule that starts when it should start, in early September. You're
September
not gonna,
10th,
I mean,
right.
Yeah, but you're talking about cutting off 2 months. That's eight games.
Yes, but they've already
started November.
But they can start mid-October and still play 16 games. So if I start early November, I'm only probably cutting off 4 to 5 games.
Yeah, but
and
Dave,
not 16, and not eight.
Okay, but you're taking those games. The schedule will come out. September 10th is the start. So if all of a sudden now it's forced, they're forced to move back to October, and they're still going to play 16 games. Those four games that you missed are going to be tacked on at the back end of your schedule.
Yes.
And the back end of your schedule is usually division games. So, like, I wouldn't be surprised if week one for the Jets was a division game. That if you can't play that game because you're not starting until later, will now be tacked on to the back end of your schedule.
But here's the question for you. Suppose you can't tack it back on. Suppose you have to start late to the point that you can't tack on the first two, three, four games to the end of your schedule. You don't want week one to be Patriots or Dolphins and not have that game played at the back end.
Well, it could be Buffalo. No, listen, they're not planning on, I'm telling you right now, the NFL is not planning on just getting rid of games. That's not what they want to do.
Of course they don't. I mean, you said the other day, how much is every game worth? Like $34 million or something?
$24 million a game.
So, of course, they don't want to lose any games.
I think you're more likely to see it get pushed back, and whatever games they don't get to play as scheduled will be tacked onto the back of it.
Maybe.
The NFL knows more than we know. I mean, the NFL, Roger Goodell is having conversations with the president. Like, I mean, the fact that this memo comes out to teams to have your facilities ready when they already, I mean, they've said in the past that if one facility because of the state mandate can't open, then none of them will open. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden now we see, get your facilities ready. They're working hand in hand with local and federal government. Like I'm telling you, I said this in the first hour. At a certain point, sports is going to be deemed essential business. Just like in Florida, the reason why we have, UFC on Saturday and we had WWE, it was entertainment with no fans is essential business. That's where we're headed with professional sports.
Yeah. Listen, we all want it back desperately. And I think the NFL, and I forget who said this yesterday, I heard, no sport has had the timing has not been better for any sport than for the NFL. I mean, it's been unbelievable for them. It happens in March. So you go on with your off-season stuff, and you're still 6 months away from the start of your season. So if there's any sport that could go through this almost unaffected, if not the least affected, it's absolutely the NFL, 100%.
Yeah, you can't disagree with that. I mean, NFL, I mean, they kind of can sit back and see how, all these other leagues approach trying to restart, what MLB does, you got three different leagues you can use as test cases for, what you can expect moving forward.
We find out tonight at 8 o'clock.
Which I don't think. See, and here's the thing though, too. And I've heard this a couple different places. Getting an opportunity to see, how UFC does it. I don't know if that's apples to apples, because in UFC, I mean, you have guys tested, they fight, but it's not like they're going to turn around and fight, the next day or the next week.
No.
Like if one of the guys fights somehow,
and how many guys is it?
Well, it's a handful of guys.
It's how many guys? It's one guy. It's two guys. It's four guys, right? If you have a full card, it's 16, maybe.
Yeah, but you can afford one guy. Like, you can afford, if we're watching the fights on Saturday, everyone goes into the ring healthy, then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, one of the guys tests positive. It's not like he's going to, he'll test positive, but he's not missing fights. He's going to have a period of time where he's not fighting that, he gets treated and then he gets past it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not playing every other day or, week to week.
No. And the league can continue just without that guy, obviously.
Dude, I'm telling you, you sit back and you start going to you go down the rabbit hole of all these possible scenarios of things that could happen. It ends up being an hour where you're going back and forth.
I know,
about all the different things.
Because every time you think you have a solution to something, there's a question about that.
I was saying to Cassie, could you imagine this? Just the mentality of a professional athlete, right? So Ian Poulter was on SportsCenter and they were talking to him.
Sure.
So the second I see him and he's talking, the first thing that comes to my mind is, so the PGA Tour, when they restart, is going to have tests for the players. But the players are going to be, from what it sounds like, the players are going to be responsible for testing themselves. So they'll test themselves, they test negative, and they show up. If they show any, if during the course of the tournament, they have any symptoms, they have to self-report symptoms, right? Could you imagine you're one of these guys that's never won a major, and you wake up on Sunday morning, and you got a 3-shot lead, and you have a slight fever? Are you going to self-report a slight fever if you have a chance to win a major?
No.
No. There's no chance you are.
They're not. And you
so
know what?
There's so many issues.
And I don't know that I look at you and say that, but I don't know that you would either. And I'm looking at everyone else and saying, and I don't know that you would either. If you're leading the Masters by 3 shots and you wake up on Sunday morning and you have a 101 fever, but you can drag yourself out and go about your day? Are you really going to report it?
No. No, you're not going to report it. There's no chance you're reporting it. So. You're putting a lot of trust in people, man. That's what it's going to mean. When these leagues start up, you're putting a lot of trust on your teammates. You're putting a lot of trust on everyone involved.
By the way, everyone's
doing the right things.
You know, your Jets have the second toughest schedule in the NFL based on 2019 winning percentage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that.
You know how many games they have against teams that won 10 or more last season?
10 or more. Well, you got Buffalo twice.
Mm-hmm.
You got twice. The Patriots twice. You got San Francisco. You got, who else in the West? You got Seattle. Arizona will be better. Chargers will be better. Denver's going to be better. Oh, my God. I don't know what. Six?
Seven games.
Seven?
Ugh. Against teams that won 10 games or more last season.
And let's face it. I mean, Buffalo, too. I mean, the game you beat Buffalo at the end of the season, they already had the playoffs wrapped up. They didn't even try to win that game.
That was a terrible football game.
Awful.
Oh, my God.
I've completely gone the opposite direction, though, Dave. Like, I'm done. I'm done as far as, you know, being negative about Adam Gase. I'm done with it.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Well, I have to be. It's not my best interest. It's not in my best interest.
You're telling me you're done for how long? You're done until the season starts? You're done through the season? You're done for how long with negativity on Adam Gase?
I'm going to give him until it looks like the season is, if it goes sideways, I'll up to that point. Because it's in every Jets best, it's in every Jets fan's best interest that he somehow, some way, a switch goes off in his brain and he figures this thing out. Because this is going to be bad news. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be, if this is a bad season, I don't care what the excuse is this season, it's going to be bad news for Sam Darnold. Telling
you. All right, so Santi, if you could do me a favor and just clip that. You will not say anything negative about Adam Gase until the season has gone sideways on the Jets. And that starts now?
Yeah, that's going to start now. Write it down.
All right. Santi, if you that should be
I can't afford to.
A clip that we can play over.
I cannot afford. Can I afford to? I can't.
Well, afford to or not, I don't think that you're physically capable of not saying anything negative about him. Jets come out week one against San Francisco or whoever the team might be, and they lose 34-3 and they get Lev Bell the ball 9 times. That Monday, you can have no negativity.
I'll be focused more on the players. If I have to be negative, I'll be more focused on the play on the field.
By the way, Giants, third toughest schedule from last year's winning percentage. So both of the locals have really tough schedules coming up. We'll find out 8 o'clock tonight. The full schedule is a 3-hour reveal here on ESPN. And before we dive into this really strange story regarding one of the best safeties in the NFL, I've stumbled across the odds for the NFC South, courtesy of Bovada. So, Rick, you're our insider. Who do you think the favorites to win this division are?
The Saints.
Yep. Heavy favorites or no?
Yeah, I think they're probably heavy favorites, too.
Not at all. Saints are -105.
Close?
Very closely followed by
the Bucs.
Yep, at +130.
The Tampa Bay Gronkaneers. That's
correct.
The new trademark coming out.
That's correct. They're +130. Falcons are next up, way distant, at +850. Panthers, you can't even see them. They're at +2,000. So Saints and Bucs feels like Vegas or Bovada thinks those two teams are really battling this thing out. All right. So, I mean, this is a weird story, this Earl Thomas story. I guess the reports, and it came out on TMZ last night, Rick, that the reports are that his wife somehow stumbled upon an affair that he's having, shows up at an Airbnb. He's in bed with a woman and his brother.
Women
and his brother. Takes a gun, holds it to his head. I mean, this is bizarre, wild stuff we have going on here.
Yeah, according to the report, they get into a fight. He leaves, brother picks him up, and then she goes on his Snapchat. And on his Snapchat, apparently, pictures of him and women, and then he's got his location still activated. So she tracks him down at an Airbnb and goes in, calls a couple friends to come with her. She's got his gun with her. Didn't realize that there was a bullet in the chamber.
Right. Apparently, she took out the cartridge,
the
I
clip,
guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the magazine wasn't in it, yeah.
And but then still, held it to his head.
Yeah, held it to his head and then was chasing him around. So, yeah, it's not great.
No, it's awful. It's a terrible story. Now, I guess, there's no police activity when it comes to him. He just seems like he's a bad guy, but there's nothing illegal that he's actually done right here. So I can't imagine there's going to be any NFL ramifications for him personally.
No, she was the one that was arrested, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so she was arrested. He, it's a real weird, awkward situation. I don't understand how you just end up at an Airbnb. It doesn't, I don't know. The whole thing.
The whole thing is very creepy. Did you hear what he had to say?
His
explanation. Let's take a listen. Santi's gone and dug it up. Here's his explanation last night before this thing broke.
So my agent just hit me and said that I'm going to be on TMZ tomorrow from an altercation that happened with me and Nina. So just wanted to get ahead of it. And, it's really not anybody's business. It's pissing me off that it got out, but it's the world we live in today. But instead of talking about us, just keep us in y'all prayers. And stuff like this happens, bro. You know, we try to live the best lives we possibly can, but sometimes it don't go as planned. Just pray for us, you know, as we go through this stuff. We're back talking. I'm seeing my kids. So just keep us in your prayers.
That could be the worst statement I've ever heard on anything ever.
Yeah, it's not great.
Keep us in your prayers.
He's more upset that it got out. Not
right.
That he was,
it shouldn't
he was
have gotten out. Situation. I don't know why it got out. Stuff like this happens. No. Stuff like this doesn't happen. It happens when you do something that's kind of disgusting to your wife.
Yeah, it's not the first. We haven't, obviously, we don't know what's going on. It's not the first. When you read some of the articles and the stories, this isn't the first altercation that these two have had. This is the first one that we're really hearing about.
Right. But he's not apologetic.
Stuff like this happens, bro.
Stuff like this happens. Keep us in your prayers. There's a lot of things to pray for now. Lots of them. That would not be one that's on my list of things I gotta kneel and pray for.
Yeah, that wasn't, this isn't like one of those stories like where just, it just happened, bad luck, it just happened. No,
right.
you made the decision to jump in the car with your brother, go to an Airbnb, and then
right. Have multiple women in a bed with you, and your wife finds out about it, and she shows up with a weapon. Stuff like this stuff like this has never happened to me. I bet you 99.9% of the people listening right now have never had stuff like this happen. He looks ridiculous.
Yeah, it's not a great look. You're 100% right. It is not a great look. And
awful.
I feel bad for his kids that are going to have to deal with this.
Poor kids, huh?
Yeah, that's the thing, man. I come from a family with divorced parents, and you don't even realize it sometimes. Like the damage that it's done to you until you do.
And now it's going to be done publicly, too. Which is even worse. Yeah.
Which is even worse.
Terrible story.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.